It's incredible, isn't it? We're just swimming in geospatial data these days. Detailed satellite images, sensors everywhere, constantly updating. But the real power, well, it lies in cutting through all that noise, extracting the useful stuff, and doing it fast. That's really the challenge we're digging into today.
Absolutely. The sheer amount and the variety of this data being generated is just unprecedented. It's not just about more data, though. It's the complexity, right? Integrating different types, processing it efficiently, and turning it into something actually useful. That's a huge hurdle for anyone trying to stay on top of
And
things.
that's exactly why we're doing this deep dive. One of you sent in this fantastic collection of sources, all focused on using Python to automate these geo AI workflows. So our mission today, pretty straightforward. We want to explore the essential Python tools, the open data platforms, basically everything that can take this flood of geospatial info and turn it into knowledge you can act on quickly. Think of it like equipping you with the understanding to maybe build your own really efficient geo AI assistant.
Precisely. The material you shared really points towards creating quite a sophisticated system, one capable of handling, well, everything from raw satellite data to really complex spatial analysis. It even hints at this future where interacting with these systems becomes more intuitive, almost like a vibe coding, where the Python automation just handles all the tricky stuff underneath. And what's fascinating is seeing how the tools themselves are evolving to meet that kind of demand.
Okay, let's get into the specifics then. We're going to look at the key Python libraries. First for vector data, that's your points, lines, polygons, and then raster data, that's your pixel stuff like satellite images. Then how do we actually mesh these with machine learning and AI? That's crucial. We'll also cover accessing remote sensing data, the main methods for automating everything, and importantly, the open data platforms that make it all possible. So yeah, let's get started building your understanding of this geo AI automation engine.
And it's really important to grasp why Python is so central here. It's become the main language for geospatial analysis and data science more broadly. What's really notable, I think, is how the ecosystem around it has grown up. We've gone from libraries that were maybe just wrappers around older code to these much more modern, user-friendly tools built for Python, many with AI kind of baked in from the start. It just makes the whole process smoother.
Right. Let's start with those foundations then. Handling vector data, the basic map building blocks. And a huge player here is GeoPandas.
Yeah, GeoPandas is great. What's so powerful is how it just extends the pandas data frame, which so many people already know, right? But for spatial data, so if you're comfy with pandas for tables, GeoPandas lets you work with shape files, GeoJSON, all that vector stuff in a really similar, intuitive way. It really lowers the barrier for data scientists getting into geospatial work, and it's especially good for automating that data prep step for machine learning. Pre-processing feature engineering makes it much faster.
Right. So it's like taking that spreadsheet idea, but being able to attach shapes to each row and actually work with them geographically. Makes sense. Now, for manipulating the shapes themselves, doing things like buffering intersections, finding areas, that's shapely territory, right?
Exactly. Shapely deals with the geometric objects directly, your points, your lines, your polygons. It gives you those core functions for all the essential geometric operations. And it's foundational, right? Lots of other geo libraries actually build on top of Shapely. Being able to automate these geometric steps programmatically is just vital for tasks like automated feature extraction or running spatial queries without clicking around. Saves a ton of time and effort.
Okay. And to actually, read this vector data into Python and write it back out, we need Fiona for that.
Fiona acts as this really nice Pythonic way to read and write all sorts of vector formats. It basically wraps GDAL, the Geospatial Data Abstraction Library, which is like the universal translator for geo formats. But Fiona gives you a cleaner, more intuitive API if you're working in Python. So if you need to automatically pull in data from different file types or, export your results in various formats, Fiona makes that whole process much less painful.
Okay, so that's handling the shapes. But what if we want to dig deeper? Understand the relationships between spatial features? That's where PySol fits in.
Right. PySol is really interesting because its focus is on spatial stats and econometrics, exploratory spatial data analysis, or ESDA. It lets you actually quantify spatial patterns, like is stuff clustered? Is it dispersed? And it helps you understand spatial dependence, the idea that things nearby are often related. This is super important for geo AI because it means you can build models that actually account for these spatial effects instead of just treating every point like it's independent. You can automate calculating advanced spatial stats, even generate spatially aware features for your ML models, which can seriously boost their accuracy.
And for anyone working in cities or with transportation networks, OSMNX seems like a real game changer.
Oh, absolutely. OSMX gives you this incredibly simple way to just download, model, analyze, even visualize street networks and other features straight from OpenStreetMap. But the real power is in the analysis. You can automate creating network-based features, think travel distance to the nearest shop or accessibility scores, stuff that's way more meaningful than just street line distance in a city. This can give you much richer insights for things like urban planning or transport modeling.
Okay, so summarizing the vector toolkit, it sounds like GeoPandas, Shapely, and Fiona are the core for just managing and manipulating the shapes. And then PySolel and OSMNX add that specialized power for understanding spatial patterns and networks. And it's all wrapped up in that easier-to-use Python style.
Exactly. And you see a similar pattern when we shift to raster beta, your satellite images, elevation models, the pixel world. We're getting these powerful but still user-friendly libraries. And leading the pack there is Rasterio.
Rasterio. Sounds like the raster equivalent of Fiona, maybe, for getting data in and out.
That's a really good way to put it. Rasterio is your main Python tool for reading and writing geospatial raster data, especially geotiffs. It's built on GDL's solid foundation, but again, it offers a much more Python-friendly interface. And it works really nicely with NumPy arrays. So if you need to get at the pixel values, manage metadata like coordinate systems, or do basic raster stuff like band math or reprojecting images, Rasterio is pretty essential for automating those raster preprocessing pipelines.
Now, when you start dealing with stacks of raster data, like multiple bands from a satellite or images over time, that can get messy fast. Is that where Zare helps?
Yes, exactly. What's really clever about Zare is how it adds labels to multidimensional data. So instead of just thinking rows, columns, bands, you have dimensions with actual names, coordinates, attributes. It makes working with complex raster data sets, maybe multiband, maybe time series, way more intuitive. Less error prone too, especially in automated workflows. It lets you do these powerful, almost database-like queries on your raster data. It really simplifies complex analysis over space and time.
And to make Zare properly spatial, to connect it back to GIS concepts, there's Reox Array.
Correct. Reox Array is that vital link. It smoothly integrates Rasterio's geospatial smarts right into the Zare world. So you can open a geotiff directly into a Zare structure, then do geospatial things like reprojecting or clipping really naturally and efficiently, all within your automated Python scripts. It keeps that geospatial context attached to your data using Zare's labeled dimensions.
We keep mentioning GDAL. It really does seem to be the engine under the hood for so much of this.
It truly is the bedrock. GDAL is this incredibly powerful translator library. It supports, well, pretty much every raster and vector format you can imagine. It's the engine that drives many of these other more user-friendly Python libraries. While using its direct Python bits can sometimes feel a bit less intuitive, its command line tools are amazing for scripting and automating big batch processing jobs across all sorts of data formats.
What about specifically handling data straight from Earth-observing satellites? That feels like it would have its own quirks.
It definitely does. And that's where a library like SatBee is really useful. It's designed specifically to handle the unique file formats and the often complex metadata you get with data from many different Earth-observing satellites. It can read and work with that raw data and even create higher-level products like those nice RGB composite images you see. For automating those first steps of data prep for various satellite missions, SatBee is a really valuable specialized tool.
And for those common GIS-type raster analyses, like calculating hillshade from elevation or figuring out slope or summarizing pixels within zones, there's Zare Spatial for that.
Exactly. Zare Spatial takes those common raster analysis functions and plugs them right into the Zare framework. And what's cool is it often uses Numba behind the scenes to speed things up. So you can run these complex analyses programmatically, efficiently inside your automated workflows. Some parts are even designed to work without needing GDL directly, which can sometimes make setup easier.
So for raster data, the picture seems to be these friendlier Python-focused tools sitting on top of the powerful GDL base. And Zare, with Reox Array, looks key for handling complex multidimensional data, while specialized tools like SatBee and Zare Spatial tackle specific ingestion and analysis needs.
Precisely. Now, the really exciting part, I think, is when you start combining all this geospatial data with the power of machine learning and AI. And again, Python offers an amazing set of tools for this integration. one package that's specifically built to bridge this gap is GUI.
GUI, that sounds like it's right at the heart of what we're talking about today.
It really is. What's particularly interesting about GUI is that it's designed from the get-go to connect AI and geospatial workflows. It includes tools for advanced stuff like image segmentation. It actually integrates Meta's Segment Anything model, SAM, which is pretty powerful. It also has pre-trained models for common geotasks like land cover mapping and a bunch of utilities for getting your data ready for AI models. It really tries to streamline applying these cutting-edge AI models to geospatial data in automated pipelines.
Of course, you can't really talk ML in Python without mentioning the big one, scikit-learn.
Absolutely not. Scikit-learn is, well, it's the workhorse for general machine learning in Python. It's got a huge range of algorithms, classification, regression, clustering, dimensionality reduction, you name it. While it's not specifically geospatial, it's incredibly versatile. You can easily apply it to structured geospatial data once you've prepped it. Its solid implementations and how well it plays with NumPy and Pandas make it a natural choice for building automated ML pipelines for lots of geospatial problems.
And then for deep learning, the really complex models, we have the two heavyweights, TensorFlow and Keras, and PyTorch.
Yeah, both TensorFlow and PyTorch are incredibly powerful for building sophisticated deep learning models, especially things like convolutional neural networks, CNNs, which are perfect for image analysis and GeoAI. TensorFlow, particularly with the Keras API on top, offers a really accessible way to design, train, and deploy these models. It's also got great support for scaling things up. PyTorch is the other major player. It's known for its flexibility, and it's really popular in the research world for developing, you know, cutting-edge models for geospatial applications.
And PyTorch even has its own specialized library just for geospatial data, right? TorchGeo.
Exactly. TorchGeo is a really significant development for anyone wanting to use PyTorch for geoanalysis. It provides a whole suite of tools specifically for this. Datasets ready for geoimagery, samplers that understand spatial context, data transformations designed for remote sensing data, even pre-trained models for common tasks. It tackles the unique challenges of geospatial data head-on, different coordinate systems, multi-band images, that kind of thing. It massively simplifies loading and preparing data for PyTorch GeoAI models, making automation of training and prediction pipelines much, much easier.
There was another library mentioned, Geospatial Learn, which seems to aim at bridging traditional ML with geodata.
Yeah, what's interesting there is its specific focus on making it easier to use established ML libraries like scikit-learn and XGBoost, which is a really popular gradient boosting tool with both raster and vector geospatial data. It even has specific helpers for working with Sentinel-2 data. The goal seems to be providing higher level commands to build automated geospatial processing chains that incorporate these well-known ML models more easily.
And we should probably circle back to PyCell here, too. It's not just for stats, right?
That's right. PyCell also has valuable modules for spatial modeling, like spatial regression techniques. These are really important if you want to build ML models that truly understand and account for spatial dependencies in your data, rather than just treating location like any other feature. It helps you build more accurate, more interpretable models within that geospatial context.
So looking at ML and AI integration, it feels like there's a really positive trend. We're getting these dedicated GeoAI libraries that get geospatial data, but we also have clear paths to use the big general purpose ML and deep learning frameworks, mm-hmm. often smoothed out by these helper libraries that make integration more automated.
Absolutely. And the ability to, you know, move data easily between the specialized geo libraries and the broader ML AI ecosystem, that's just critical for building effective end-to-end automated GeoAI systems. Now, a massive enabler for all this is just the sheer availability of remote sensing data. And guess what? Python has some incredibly useful tools for accessing that too.
Okay, let's start with data discovery. The combination of PyStack and PyStack Client seems key there.
It really is. What's so valuable about PyStack and PyStack Client is that they're built around Stack spatiotemporal asset catalogs. Think of Stack as a standard language for describing geospatial data, like satellite imagery. It makes finding what you need so much easier. PyStack helps you create and work with the standard metadata, and PyStack Client lets your Python code actually search and browse the Stack APIs that data providers are increasingly offering. This standardization is a huge win for automating that often tedious data discovery step.
And for getting data from one of the biggest open sources, the Sentinel satellites from ESA, yeah. There's a dedicated library. Sentinel Sat.
Yep, Sentinel Sat is designed specifically to make grabbing Sentinel imagery from the Copernicus Hub and other places much simpler. It gives you a Python interface where you can programmatically set your search criteria, location, date range, how much cloud cover is okay, which Sentinel platform you want. It really automates fetching this incredibly valuable open data, saving a lot of manual clicking and downloading.
Of course, you can't really talk remote sensing without mentioning Google Earth Engine and its Python client. GEE.
Yeah, it's truly transformative for large-scale work. The ePython API gives you programmatic access to this enormous multi-petabyte catalog of satellite imagery and other geodata sets, but the key is the processing. It's coupled with Google's massive cloud infrastructure. So, crucially for automation, you can run complex analyses on this huge archive on their servers without downloading terabytes of data yourself. It just changes the game for large area or long time series GeoAI studies.
Microsoft's also a big player here with the Planetary Computer, and they have a Python SDK for that too.
That's right. The Planetary Computer hosts a huge amount of environmental and Earth observation data on Azure. And importantly, they also provide a stack API to find that data. Their Python SDK makes it pretty straightforward to interact with the platform, so you can automate searching, accessing, and processing data sets like Sentinel, Landsat, NAIP, all within the scalable Azure cloud environment.
We mentioned SAPI before for processing. Sounds like it can help with access, too.
Definitely. Because SAPI understands so many different satellite data formats, including the raw instrument files, it can be really handy for getting data that might not be in the big APIs or stack catalogs yet. If you're dealing with a more niche satellite product, SAPI could be a crucial piece in your automated data ingestion pipeline.
So looking at accessing remote sensing data with Python, the big takeaways seem to be the standardization from Stack and its clients, plus the raw power and data access from cloud platforms like GEE and Planetary Computer via their APIs. It really feels like the barriers to working with this amazing data are coming down.
They really are. And that standardization through Stack, combined with how user-friendly these Python libraries are becoming, it's a major catalyst for developing these automated GeoAI assistants we're envisioning.
Okay, we've looked at this incredible toolkit, but how do you actually string it all together? How do you build those automated GeoAI workflows?
Right, that's the crucial next step. A typical GeoAI workflow goes all the way from getting the data to generating actual insights. And the real beauty of the Python ecosystem is that you can automate almost every single step.
Let's start right at the beginning then.
Yeah.
Automating data acquisition and getting it ready for analysis, the pre-processing.
Automated data acquisition is getting way easier thanks to APIs, especially Stack APIs. Like we said, libraries like PStack Client give you a unified way to hit up providers like USGS, Copernicus, Planetary Computer. And then you have dedicated libraries like Sentinel Sat for key datasets, plus the powerful APIs from platforms like Google Earth Engine. They really streamline finding and getting the data you need.
And once you have the raw data, that pre-processing step can be a lot of work, but it's essential.
Mm-hmm.
How does Python help automate that?
Python's ecosystem is fantastic here. Things like radiometric and atmospheric correction. You can often leverage processing built into platforms like GEE or script interactions with specialized toolboxes, cloud masking. Libraries like StuCloudless or even AI-based tools are automating that, combining images into mosaics where Stereo can handle that, tiling or chipping big images for ML models, GDAL or functions within the ML frameworks can do that automatically. And those basic but vital steps, normalization, standardization, converting formats, libraries like scikit-learn, Restereo, and Fiona make those reliably automatable.
So Python scripting kind of acts as the glue holding all these automated pre-processing steps together.
Exactly. Python is the orchestrator. You use it to chain these individual steps into complete pipelines. For really complex stuff, you might even bring in workflow management systems. And a really significant development is the rise of analysis-ready data, or ARD, from platforms like GEE. This data has already had a lot of pre-processing done, which saves you a ton of effort. Combine that with Stack for finding data and cloud-optimized GeoTIFFs, COGS for efficient cloud access. ARD and COGS are huge for streamlined automated cloud-based workflows. COGS let you grab just the piece of a big raster file you need without downloading the whole thing. Very efficient.
Okay, data acquired, pre-processed, ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we automate extracting meaningful features, getting stuff our AI models can actually learn from?
Right, feature engineering. That's about transforming raw spatial data into informative variables that really help your AI models perform better, especially the more traditional ones. For vector data, you can automate calculating things like proximity to other features, density of points, or use OSMNX for network features like travel time. PiCell is great for spatial stats features like spatial lags that capture neighborhood influence. For raster data, you can automatically calculate spectral indices like NDVI using libraries like Spindex, or just do band math with Rasterio and Xarray. Texture analysis with a scikit image, deriving topographic features, calculating zonal statistics, all automatable. Then the critical final bit is getting this engineered data into the right format for your ML framework, usually NumPy arrays or tensors. And libraries like TorchGeo can really help simplify this, especially for PyTorch.
So it's about intelligently reshaping the raw spatial info into something the models can really bite into. Yeah. Okay, now let's get to the core, applying ML and AI to this geo data.
Yeah, this is where you see the power of both supervised learning from labeled examples and unsupervised learning finding patterns without labels in geo AI. For supervised tasks, like land cover classification, you can automate training various ML models from scikit-learn or dive into deep learning with CNNs using TensorFlow or PyTorch. You often leverage labeled data from places like Radiant ML Hub for this. Regression tasks, too, predicting environmental factors, crop yields, even property values based on location can be automated. On the unsupervised side, you can use clustering to find natural groups in your data, like hotspots of activity or anomalies. Scikit-learn and PiCell have tools for this. The key takeaway is Python gives you the toolkit to automate the whole ML pipeline, prepping features, training models, evaluating them, and crucially, integrating that spatial context for better, more interpretable results.
And deep learning. That seems to have really pushed the boundaries, especially for image analysis in geo.
Oh, absolutely. Deep learning kind of automates the feature learning part itself directly from the raw data. It often outperforms traditional methods for tasks like image classification, assigning a label to a whole scene, or object detection, drawing boxes around things like cars or buildings, and semantic segmentation, classifying every single pixel, like in detailed land cover maps. Models like CNNs and architectures like UNet are incredibly effective here. Frameworks like TensorFlow, Keras, PyTorch, maybe with helpers like TorchGeo, give you the tools. Now, deep learning often needs a lot of training data, but open data sets and techniques like transfer learning using pre-trained models are making it more accessible. The level of detail we can pull from imagery now, going from just classifying a scene to outlining individual objects, it's really quite amazing.
Another really critical application is monitoring change over time. How does Python help automate change detection?
Change detection is vital. Tracking deforestation, urban growth, disaster impacts, so many uses. Python offers various ways to automate this. Simple methods like image differencing, more complex ones comparing classification results over time, or increasingly deep learning approaches. Libraries like ArcGIS.learn even have specialized change detection models. You can also use time series analysis tools like the Ruptures library. The absolute key for reliable automated change detection is having good quality, consistent time series imagery properly aligned, radiometrically similar. Platforms like GEE providing analysis-ready time stacks are invaluable here. And deep learning is really advancing change detection, learning complex change patterns directly from the image pairs. Often works better than older methods.
Okay, so it really feels like across the board, data acquisition, prep, feature engineering, ML, deep learning, change detection, Python provides this rich, evolving toolkit for automation. Now, all this depends on having good data. Let's talk about the key open access geodata sites and platforms that enable all this.
Absolutely. Access to high-quality open geodata is the fuel for GeoAI. And luckily, we have some excellent platforms providing this. The big satellite providers are key, and many now offer stack APIs, which, as we've said, is huge for automation. Think of the USGS Eros Center, the Landsat Archive, Copernicus for the Sentinel missions, Microsoft's Planetary Computer with its huge environmental data collection, Google Earth Engine with its massive catalog and ARD, even AWS Open Data hosting big data sets like Landsat and Sentinel as cogs. The move towards stack across these platforms means you can use tools like PyStack Client to search and access data from multiple sources in a more unified, automated way.
And beyond those big general providers, there are also more specialized platforms offering really valuable niche data, right?
Yeah,
definitely. Radiant ML Hub is a fantastic example, specifically focused on providing quality training data for Earth observation. Imagery paired with labels, which is absolutely essential for supervised ML. Open Topography gives you access to high-resolution elevation data, like LiDAR, crucial for terrain analysis. GBIF, the Global Biodiversity Information Facility, provides open access to tons of species occurrence data, vital for ecology and conservation work. VITO Terrascope offers access to long-term vegetation data from satellites like SBOT and ProBV. And then you have general sources like OpenStreetMap for detailed vector maps, Natural Earth for base maps, NASA's Earth Data Portal, the list goes on. These specialized platforms often provide data sets that complement the satellite imagery, allowing for richer multimodal geo-AI analysis.
Wow, it really seems like there's just a tremendous amount of valuable data out there, and it's getting easier to access and integrate into automated workflows, thanks to things like Stack and COGS.
It really is, and that democratization of data access is a major factor driving the innovation we're seeing in GeoAI.
So let's try to synthesize all this. If someone listening, if you wanted to actually start building your own automated GeoAI assistant, what would be the strategic advice? How should you pick the right libraries and platforms?
Okay, I'd suggest starting with a solid core stack. For vector data, GeoPandas and Fiona. For raster, Rasterio and Zare, probably with ReoxArray. For machine learning basics, scikit-learn is indispensable. For deep learning, pick either TensorFlow Keras or PyTorch, maybe using Torch Geo with PyTorch if you're doing a lot of geo-specific stuff. For data access, PyStack Client is key, maybe Sentinel Sat if you heavily rely on Sentinel data. Then, depending on your specific needs, layer in specialized libraries. PyZEL for spatial stats, OSMingX for network analysis, sure. And keep an eye on newer integrated tools like GeoEye. Platform-wise, match it to your needs. Need broad satellite access and cloud compute. Look at Microsoft Planetary Computer or Google Earth Engine. Need training data. Radiant ML Hub is essential. USGS and Copernicus are fundamental sources, now easier via Stack. Honestly, the best approach is probably hybrid. Mix and match these general and specialized tools and platforms to build the most versatile and powerful GeoAI assistant for your specific goals.
Could you maybe walk us through a couple of quick examples just to make it more concrete how these pieces fit together in an automated workflow?
Sure. Let's take automated land cover classification with Sentinel-2. You'd start using Stack, maybe via PyStack client, to find and get the latest cloud-free images for your area. Then, maybe use StuCloudList to automatically mask clouds. Use Rasterio to mosaic the tiles together. Maybe calculate some spectral indices like NDVI with Spendex for extra features. Then train a deep learning model, maybe a UNet in PyTorch, using labeled data possibly sourced from Radiant ML Hub to do the classification. Finally, automate post-processing and maybe visualizing the results.
Okay, that makes sense. How about another one? Maybe building footprint extraction and change detection.
Right. So acquire high-res aerial or satellite imagery. Pre-process it, make sure images from different times line up, maybe normalize brightness, then use a deep learning segmentation model, maybe even leverage something powerful like the SegmentAny. Model via the GeoEye library to extract the building footprints. For change detection, you could compare the footprint layers from different dates using GeoPandas, or use a dedicated deep learning change detection model, perhaps like the one in Arcus.learn, to directly identify changes between the images. Then automate outputting the detected changes. The real power is how these tools are designed to connect, enabling these kinds of complex automated chains.
It really does underscore that synergy, that interoperability within the Python geospatial world.
Exactly. Standards like Stack help a lot. The fact you can easily convert data between libraries like a GeoBeta frame to a NumPy array for scikit-learn is huge. Mm. And cloud-optimized formats like COGS just make cloud workflows so much more efficient.
So finally, looking ahead, what are the emerging trends or important things to keep in mind in automated GeoAI?
Well, there's a lot of buzz around foundation models for geospatial. These big pre-trained models that might have more general capabilities across different tasks, that's definitely something to watch. Explainable AI, XAI, is becoming more critical. We need to understand why these complex models make the predictions they do. Ethical considerations are rightly getting more focus, bias in data, fairness, privacy implications, and you're seeing more low-code or no-code interfaces aiming to make GeoAI easier for non-programmers. But often, these rely on automated Python backends doing the heavy lifting. Kind of loops back to that vibe coding idea. The overarching trend is definitely cloud-native, data and compute living together, accessible via APIs. And while we focused on Python and its ecosystem is incredibly mature for the core ideas, modularity, standards, using pre-trained models, those are pretty universal principles for building effective, scalable AI systems anywhere.
Okay, so bringing this deep dive to a close, we've really covered a lot. This powerful Python ecosystem for handling vector, raster data, for integrating ML and AI for accessing remote sensing data. It's clear Python gives you the tools to automate pretty much the whole GeoAI workflow, especially with deep learning pushing things forward. And those open data platforms with their improving APIs and cloud-ready data, they're the essential fuel.
Exactly. All these resources together really make that vision of an intelligent GeoAI assistant possible. An assistant that can automate everything from data wrangling to complex analysis like change detection. But the real magic, the real key, is architecting these tools properly, designing cohesive, efficient, automated workflows that actually solve the problems you need them to solve.
And the open source nature of so much of this, of the libraries, the data access standards, even some platforms, that really fuels collaboration and keeps innovation moving fast.
It really does. That open spirit is a massive driver of the progress we're seeing.
So for you, listening in as you think about all this, consider the potential here. An assistant built on these Python tools powered by this accessible data. Which of these libraries, these platforms, maybe resonates most with the questions you're trying to answer or the challenges you face? The chance to really democratize these powerful GeoAI capabilities to speed up discovery and make better decisions is pretty significant.